Three, two, one, ghost. Hey everybody, welcome to 3-2-1 Ghost. As always, I'm your host with a silent G and joined by my pal Natalie. Hey Natalie, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Hey everybody, we are talking about 1992's Buffy the Vampire Slayer, directed by Fran Kazooie, written by the infamous Joss Whedon. Music by Carter Burwell. And Carter Burwell has done music for a lot of different things, but the only thing I can remember off the top of my head is he did the music for a Goofy movie.
Like all of the music?
I don't know if he like wrote the Powerline songs.
That's what I was going to ask. Was it Powerline too? Because then industry legend.
Yeah. There were also songs that Goofy and Max sang as well. So I don't know if he wrote all of that music or if he just wrote the score, but basically when I like pirated hey everybody, we're talking about Buffy, I'll get there. We were I had the internet was a wild time 20 years ago, everybody, and
Like
I remember like
LimeWire days, Napster.
it was some Russian website. It was like gomusic.ru or something like that.
Oh.
But actually, your husband's father, calling him out, called, I think, recommended this to us. And I felt like it wasn't pirating because the songs were like 8 cents each or something like that.
Oh, yes, I remember this. Yeah.
So for
Don't come for my father-in-law, FBI.
it almost makes it worse than LimeWire because like now you're like just giving some Russian website your credit card information. So I don't know. But long story short, as I do, I got the soundtrack to a Goofy movie. But it had the listing, the artist for every single song is Carter Burwell. So that's why I specifically know that name. Of course, and then I smile a little bit when his name pops up and I just didn't want to forget. I just saw it looking through the Wikipedia. I'm like, oh, old friend alert. Carter Burwell, love it. Hey,
Old
everybody.
friend alert.
We're talking about 1992's Buffy the Vampire Slayer. This movie, it's wild, and I think kind of infamous only in the sense where it really lives under the shadow of its much more popular and much more critically acclaimed TV show that came out, what, 5 years later, like 97, I think. Somewhere in that range.
Yeah, it was 97. And that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most, I think if you ask anybody, just off the top of your head, hey, who plays Buffy? People would, I think, would say Sarah Michelle Gellar first.
I say both if someone said it. I say, are you talking about the television series or the movie? But I think that's just the nerd in me coming out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think, you, especially with your knowledge of this property, you would know different, but I think if you ask your normal dude in 1997 watching, it was the WB at that point, right?
Sure
And they changed
was
it.
to the CW.
Yeah, and I think wasn't it like maybe it wasn't UPN before that? I can't remember.
No, Buffy moved to UPN come season six, five or six.
The only thing else I remember on UPN was this, I don't even remember the name of it, but it was some sitcom starring Jaleel White, post Steve Urkel, but
Yeah.
he's just in full Stefan mode all the time in the show. Not he's not playing Stefan, but he is like just kind of like this kind of cool bachelor guy. He talks in his normal voice and this and this and this,
I
but
don't remember that at all.
I'm sure most people don't, and I don't know why I do, but
He's hot though.
yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I think I just saw some photo on Instagram of like just like the golden days of, fucking just culture where it was like the NBA All-Star game and it was like him, Alfonso Ribeiro, and I forget who the fuck else, all at like the All-Star celebrity game, and I was like,
That's
damn,
great.
I'd play on either of those teams. Fuck. Oh yeah. But so I don't know. This movie is I think gets an unfair shake. And we can talk about this a little bit in depth as we go, but I think it gets an unfair shake because of the TV show, which I mean, granted, I maybe only watched the first couple seasons and I can kind of barely remember that. Now you are very invested in that show.
Yeah.
May I share that you have
Share. Go ahead. I
tattoos?
knew
Yes.
it. Three.
Three. Oh, Jesus. Okay. I thought one.
Three.
This movie is certainly sillier. And I think it doesn't help that Joss Whedon himself has kind of derided this movie a little bit, and has thrown some shade that way. I mean, it depends. I think on certain interviews, he, kind of says like, it's its own thing, whatever. But like, certainly pretty discontent with the idea that, it wasn't what he wanted it to be. He was talking about how the script was being changed as they were filming. And even though he said he was there for essentially almost the entire shoot of the movie, he ended up leaving the set and, kind of stepped away from the movie and kind of not like disavowed it necessarily, but was just like, hey, that's not my thing. I thought it was also really interesting, though, that the director, Fran Kuzui, she was also a producer on both Buffy and Angel. So even she was still involved with the property. I would just think that given the things Joss Whedon was saying, that maybe that collaboration wouldn't be there in future takes. You know what I mean?
Well, as far as I remember with watching a ton of just Buffy, whatever you want to call it, interviews, all the things, like hearing Joss Whedon talk a lot about it. There was also a lot of studio interference as well. So I think that was out of his control and possibly her control also. But what's interesting to me about this movie versus the show, and like we won't talk about the show this whole time, but there's many people who are fans of the show because of the movie. So like I'm one of those people, but there aren't really that many people who are just fans of the movie and not the show. Like there's very few people I think that are like, I love the movie Buffy the Vampire Slayer and have just never watched the show. Okay, maybe Kyle might be one. But that's because you haven't watched the show. We'll get into that another time. But the thing that makes them so different, like they're completely separate things for me entirely. Like as a Buffy fan of both, I love both so much. The movie feels very tonally different, obviously, because it's not a series, but also like what I think Joss Whedon is very good at humor, but this humor in this movie is not his type of humor. Like this is like straight up camp. And he's not usually campy, and people might fight me on that, but like the type of humor that he plays out in Buffy and other shows and movies that I've watched of his, like it's a very different feeling. So this movie is very unique from the show. I don't think they can even be associated with each other other than like that character of Buffy and like the idea and the concept.
Yeah, it's like I kind of treat it like Batman. You can have Adam West and Michael Keaton and Christian Bale. It's like Buffy is like Batman is like Shakespeare. It can be, you can tell the same story and interpret it in different ways. You can portray it, sympathetic to one person and not the other. I don't know. It can be more like as a comedy rather than a tragedy, but I like the idea that they can be separate and both coexist. Watching the movie, it's funny that you bring that up because there was only one line that specifically stood out, where after Paul Rubens gets his arm ripped off and Luke Perry crashes the van and they kind of corner him a little bit before Buffy comes and saves his ass, the many times she does this. But Paul Rubens, I wrote it down, he goes, "You ruined my jacket. Kill him a lot."
I love that line. I wrote that down. Kill him a lot.
I was like, that is as absolutely a Joss Whedon joke.
Yeah, that sounds like a Joss Whedon joke for sure.
Granted, that's just one example, but you still get flashes of it in
Oh,
there.
for sure. You feel his presence there for sure.
We don't want to talk about the show, but it is or at least entirely, but I'm just so curious in just how certain things translate, or do they, you know, like there's some wild stuff where like, does she still get Spider-Man cramps when vampires are nearby?
Spider-Man cramps. I love that. Do you want me to go over the things that they changed for the series from this movie?
Do you have it prepared?
I know it off the top of my head.
Oh, I love it. Please go for it. Yeah.
Please. So we'll start with the menstrual cramps. That obviously did not last.
It sounds terrible.
It's so strange. And like, it seems like such a disadvantage. Like, I'm just thinking about if I was getting ready to like fight and then all of a sudden I got menstrual cramps, I'd be like, oh, fuck, I don't want to do this. I'm going to go home. Like, right. Everything's fine. So that, of course, they got rid of. And honestly, it was a weird choice to begin with. The other thing is that you'll notice when she stakes the vampires, they just fall to the ground. There's just dead bodies everywhere. And in order to continue a show, they were like, we need a better solution for this. So the vampires then turn to dust and disappear. So that was something else that they changed. The faces, the way that they look is different. So they don't always have teeth. Like these vampires, they don't have a human face once they change. Whereas in the series, they can have a regular human face and then they change it to vampire face, which is a little bit more dramatic than these vampire faces.
Always, always a big fan of the vampire face in that show, because I also feel like that's cool.
Looks very snake-like.
I like it. And I think it also has inspired the look of vampires and other things afterwards too. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's fun. And then other than that, I think everything else is the same. Holy water, crosses, stake them through the heart. They don't really address beheading here, but that's always one. Lighting on fire. Mm-hmm. They're immortal. If they've been alive longer, they are more powerful. So like Lothos being like this like master vampire that has some sort of like control over people, and Buffy, there's a similar character in the show to that. Yeah, I think that's it. Oh, they float. They can float in the movie. They cannot float in the show. So there's no hovering, flying, floating, levitating.
How does being a vampire affect your basketball powers? In the show, does that get addressed in
not
the same
addressed
way?
Not addressed, but I would assume that it would enhance your game because they have faster reflexes, they're stronger. I mean, they learn like fighting styles like just automatically upon changing.
I wonder why basketball is the best conduit to demonstrate, you know, supernatural ghoul abilities. You know, I think this and Teen Wolf, right? I've seen a wolf play
basketball twice.
And granted, my only two option, my only two, you know, I mean, I've seen a wolf play basketball. I've seen a golden retriever play basketball.
I was just about to say, there's also Air Bud.
So I was thinking maybe it was more the dog element that made it.
But when
I see a vampire play basketball here really well, I guess I just, I don't know. Just all assumptions thrown out the window there. This cast is pretty fucking stacked.
It's so stacked. It's so good.
I say that sometimes a lot, but fuck. Let me run through this.
This one's a lot. Yeah.
So you've got. Can we present an industry legend award to Christy Swanson?
Of course. I'm sure I brought this up before, but she's also in one of my other favorite campy movies called Mannequin 2 On the Move. I do not recommend this movie to people, but it's one of the best movies in the entire world.
I think by virtue of playing Buffy, I think you get one.
Yeah.
Such an iconic role, even if it's shared with somebody else, you know, in a different form. Because I would also say Sarah Michelle Gellar, industry legend, but we'll get there when we get there.
Yeah.
But so you've got fucking Luke Perry. Rest in peace.
Oh, rest in peace, Luke Perry. God, both of them together, gorgeous, gorgeous.
Oh, when he's at the the dance,
oh my
and he's
gosh,
like got the dress shirt with the vest with the leather jacket over it. I'm
yeah
like, bro,
yeah
there you
that
go,
is
there you go.
90s perfection.
Yeah, 100%. So you've got Rutger Hauer, who plays Lothos. Fuck, I might want to give industry legends to everybody here.
He needs an industry legend. He's got a really impressive resume as well.
100%. Fuck, you've got Donald Sutherland also as Merrick, who I really like. He's super fun in this movie.
Yeah,
He's a real creep. Yes.
he is. We'll talk about Merrick being creepy.
Oh my God, he just shows up in and out of those locker rooms like Batman. He just, Jesus, dude, you need to stop.
Yeah, don't do that.
But fuck, you even have and then Paul Rubens, right? Being fucking awesome. There is, spoiler alert, sorry everybody. There is I think I've even brought this up before. There's an episode of What We Do in the Shadows, the TV show, where Paul
Yeah,
Rubens
you've already spoiled it for everyone, so
thank you, where he reprises this role. So I'm glad to hear that even past the post credits, he's still alive. He made it.
yeah.
But fuck, you also have Hilary Swank, who's great. And fuck, you got David Arquette.
Yeah.
Fuck, babyface David
We
Arquette.
love it. I know he's such a baby here. Going from talking about Scream 5 to this, like seeing his face is like so young is so adorable.
I didn't even think about that. Is that the first time you're doing back-to-back movies that have the same actor? It might be.
Oh, is that the last one we did? Dang, my memory is awful.
Yeah, Scream 5
Yeah.
is last. I know.
Yeah.
That was
Okay.
a whole week ago.
Yeah.
Can you believe it? So
Yeah, so we watched him like reverse in age by like 30 years.
and then I don't know why I keep forgetting that Stephen Root is in this movie as well. Stephen Root's fucking awesome. He plays Gary. Yeah.
He's the best principal. He's really dedicated to his job.
He's pretty good. He knocks a teen unconscious.
I love it.
So that's a little problematic. But yeah, oh geez, anything like I want to give them all industry legend awards. Is there anything you want to speak to on this cast?
Yes, I have two things that I'm surprised you didn't bring up, but
Sure.
yeah, I feel like they all deserve industry legend awards. The actress that plays Cassandra, who's killed in the beautiful yellow jacket, which shaped my style for the rest of my life. She plays Michelle, what is her name in the movie? Michelle Mancini in Urban Legend.
Dang, is that her? Fuck yeah.
Yeah. From the opening. So I thought you would like that. Also, Thomas Jane is listed in the cast as someone named Zeph.
No, it says Tom James. Only because I
No,
have it.
it's Thomas Jane, and I have him right here on IMDb, our Thomas Jane.
I have, okay, sure. We can figure that out, but I have the credits just freeze framed on the TV right behind me, and it just happens to be where his name is. And this is
Lies.
Zeph, and it played by Tom James.
So maybe,
Maybe he
maybe they
changed
fucked
it.
up.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But I paused it only because the person who plays Buffy's dad, his name's James Paradise, and I was like, man, I would kill to have a name like J Jimmy Paradise.
Great.
Yeah, you want to hop into this movie?
It.
Cool. Dang, the early 90s really had a thing for, I mean, I'm not going to get my eras right, but I just put Renaissance, Renaissance.
Yeah.
I was thinking between this, First Night comes out a couple years after this. We love First Night.
We love First Night.
You got Kid in King Arthur's Court. That shit was around that time too.
Yeah.
But yeah, this whole thing where she was like a barmaid and that really terrible wig.
Oh my God, it's the worst.
I keep forgetting about those parts too, especially because there's like the recurring dreams she has,
Yeah.
with Lethos.
Which are really, it's really interesting. They filmed those scenes at that Universal Studios lot. Like, do you recognize it? when you go on the studio tour, there's this like Renaissance like village where they do a lot of these scenes. So they filmed it there. I just figured this out today. And they filmed a bunch of like flashback scenes from the show in that same, like on that same lot, which I thought was interesting. So as I said, I wasn't going to talk about the show the whole time. I promise I won't.
I also like this version of vampire because it's kind of a mix of the Lost Boys type of vampire, as well as Rucker Hauer and Paul Rubens doing a lot of that, like Anne Rice, very like, it's all about your capes and your big,
And it's very and sexy. Like they're like kissing each other's hands. And like, he's like telling him he's going to be at the bedroom. Like, yeah, just they're cute.
No, they are very cute together.
Except for when he snacks on a kitten.
Ooh, yeah, I know. I did think it was pretty tough when, what's his face, Merrick says, "Let Satan tremble, the Slayer's born." And I was like, that's some pretty hard shit to say. I love that.
It's pretty good, yeah.
That's something where I wonder, does that come into play in the show? This idea of when a Watcher dies, he is reborn with the same knowledge of like the same compelling need to go find a Slayer and train them.
That's a great question. No, it's a totally different situation. I won't spoil anything for anyone, but a different, if a Watcher dies, someone else takes his place and like is already trained and knows all the things. There's a whole council of them. So yeah, they already exist. I like the lineage thing that's happening here. The same with the Slayer. It's not one girl who's part of the Harry Mole Club that like carries over. Like, it's as soon as one dies, someone else all of a sudden has fucking super strength and like powers, and the Watcher needs to go find her and train her.
Who assigns this? Is there like all powerful being that like is working at an office desk?
No
that
one wants to
who the
listen.
Next Slayer is?
If you want to know the answers to these fucking questions, guess where you can find them.
Not gonna go. Why? I've got you.
Yeah,
why?
You can find them if you watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the television series.
Jesus, I don't have the time.
I'm not gonna
Natalie.
Spoil it for everybody. Everyone should watch that show. Literally everyone, especially you.
So
love it.
Thank you. We're introduced to Buffy, doing what she does best. She's cheerleading and hanging out with her girls. I love it. You have some of her friends that are on the cheerleading team. Also, granted, this came out 10 years, 20 years, right? Before Jennifer's body. But I just like the supportive friend just grooving and cheering on her cheerleader friend from the stands. I'm like, see, that is what friendships can look like. You know, though, or maybe Jennifer's body ripped that off of Buffy. I wouldn't be surprised if it would
it's
be
possible. You know, this movie made me think that I wanted to be a cheerleader. When I was in high school, as a child, I thought I would want to be a cheerleader in high school because of this movie. And I quickly discovered that that was not my personality at all, but I just thought they were the coolest. Ugh, dancing to CNC Music Factory. Come on.
The soundtrack of this movie is pretty bad, but pretty great.
Yeah.
Like, I love all these songs. Do any of them, like outside of like this one, do any of them fit in any of these scenes? No.
No.
But
just this one. The first song is perfect for like them cheerleading. And then it just is so odd the way the songs are placed.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It was really, they were just whatever they had rights to. That was very cheap, but that makes sense. You know, I don't want to talk shit too much on the director, but this movie does have cheap TV movie feels to it.
A lot of the
very like super serious like slow zoom ins on particularly a lot on Merrick.
Yes,
who's just creeping always. Oh my god. I was curious too, and again, this is really probably my last question about the show.
Okay, we'll see.
But I guess I wonder with the show, how much does that like vapid Valley Girl-ness stay with Buffy's character? Like, is it there at the beginning and kind of fades away? Because the show has the ability to develop characters more, or does it stick around for a while, or is it never there?
Now, anyone who's listening, please know this is my opinion. People get really heated about Buffy and her like character growth. So this is how I interpret it. I think it's actually a very good continuation of how the movie portrays Buffy. So she starts off really shallow. She's actually quite dumb. She's much dumber in the movie than she is in the show. But she still wants to hold on to that like part of herself that's like a fun girl who loves fashion and cares about cheerleading and doing all those things. But as she progresses through this movie, she gets more serious. She realizes there's more important things in life than just all the things that she thought were the most important things. And so when she starts off in the series, she's trying to go back to her old self and is like, I want to be a cheerleader and I just want to shop and have fun. And I'm just going to pretend that I was never a vampire slayer because I'm in a new town and I have a fresh start and I want to be popular again. And she quickly realizes that like, that's not possible. So again, she holds on to the little things that she can, like going out and fighting vampires in like the hottest fucking outfits. Like, you know, so she holds on to like those fun things about her personality, but lets go of like all the shallowness. So I hope that answered the question. Like there's this like carry through of her, like keeping that fun part, but also like realizing the seriousness of who she is and what she needs to do. Yeah. So it goes pretty like quickly. Like she still gives a lot of pushback to Giles on like wanting to be a regular teenage girl while still trying to save the world and shit.
And what I like about Merrick is that he inevitably is just like, you know, do the wrong thing. Like, be you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, stop, you know, me yeah. trying to, like, change you. Mm-hmm. Him trying to be like, he even gets fucking pretty mouthy that when he's mm-hmm. like, you know, the other girls weren't like this. And yeah. she's like, oh, yeah, well, where the fuck are they?
Yeah, they're fucking dead. So there you have it.
It's like, look, you can still like shopping and going to the mall mm-hmm. and cheerleading and shit, but also recognize like, yeah, I got to fucking fight some vampires too,
mm-hmm.
you know, whereas like, I think sometimes, you know, to be the hero, you have to shed a lot of, you know, I think just things that just like make just normal teenage girls. I don't know. Not necessarily just like super like gender it, but I don't know.
One of the things that I think is really fun about this movie and Buffy as a female hero, especially because she was formed in the 90s, which is very different than our like female leads now. And I'll get into that a little bit. So throughout this movie, when she's her normal teenage girl self, she's a cheerleader. She doesn't care about homework, studies. She just cares about her boyfriend and all the things. She has tons of sexist remarks thrown at her. No one takes her seriously. Like, it's very much the life of, you know, a cute teenage girl. As she gets more serious and starts kicking ass and starts dressing a little bit different and all of those things, it still continues. So yep. it just, the comments change from, can I borrow her, to being called like anti-gay slurs. So she can't win. Like, she can't win no matter what type of female hero or person she's trying to be. She's still getting like all the shit. And what I think is so special about Buffy here in this movie and in the show, and what I love about her so much versus a lot of female heroes and like leads now, is that she is so imperfect and makes so many mistakes. It makes bad decisions. She breaks down and cries. She gets stressed out and wants to quit. Sometimes she does. Then she goes back to it. Like, she's very flawed. She makes terrible relationship decisions. Like, she's extremely relatable as a woman, and the shit that she goes through is super relatable. Whereas like now, like Wonder Woman, I can't even fuck with. I'm like, that is a boring female lead. She's perfect. She's gorgeous. She's strong. She has a sense of duty that she never gives up. And she's like all in. Like, it's very boring and it's very one note. And I think Buffy, even in this movie, as silly as it is, she shows hints of what her character eventually becomes. And I think she's extremely inspiring for young girls. And like, for me, was like one of like the most pivotal characters of me growing up. Because this movie came out when I was 5 and I watched it forever. And then that show came out when I was like 11 or 12. Come on now. Like that like shaped who I am. So I think she's amazing. And I think that this movie shows a little bit of that. But yeah, you can't fucking win. Like she can't win no matter what she does, no matter who she is. So that's one of the recurring themes of this movie that I think is actually quite deep, but like it kind of gets thrown to the side because it's like played for laughs a little bit.
Yeah. And kind of, I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but like at the end when, they're at the dance and Luke Perry's like, "You're not like the other girls." And she, cuts him off and goes, "Yes, I am."
I love that.
And there's so much behind that, right? Where it's not like she is ignoring her destiny as the vampire slayer necessarily. It's just like, "No, I'm still me, and because I have value, therefore others like me do as well." You know what I mean? So like almost not even just advocating for herself, but then also for her friends that just may, hey, it's not their fault they weren't also summoned to be vampire slayers. Like granted, yeah, they're pretty shallow, yeah, but also like they're children,
They're the worst and best at the same time.
right? I know we've been jumping around all over, so we can kind of breeze through the movie, but she first sees Merrick at the mall in the elevator.
Well, they're so mean.
Oh, I know. But he's
He's
also
very
like
creepy. Yeah, he's extremely creepy.
he needs to come up with a better approach. Like, I mean, if he's been doing this
You've
like
lived
multiple
hundreds of
lifetimes,
lifetimes. Yeah,
yeah, you don't.
hundreds of lifetimes. You didn't learn any social skills of talking
Yeah.
to young girls.
You would think if anything, he would be, I mean, at least find some through lines through history of like, okay, here's how to just not be a perv and creep people out.
Yeah. Don't show up in the girls' locker room.
Dude, I mean, like, granted, this was all pre like Columbine and shit, right? But man, I mean, would they just let, would they just let whoever just walk all onto campuses?
They didn't lock up schools like they do now, I don't think.
Because
Not
we went to
everywhere.
high school right after Columbine, like the fall following that April of 2000 when it happened. And so our high school experience
You could
was,
get on and off of campus, though. Anyone could enter that campus.
I mean, yes, because I ditched
Oh
regularly and
yeah, we
left
left all
school. Yeah,
the
because you could break out pretty easily. I thought
You could
just getting
get in
back in was a
easily
little
as
harder.
well. That front, there was like a door right at the front office. It's always open.
Man, did they learn nothing?
Yeah.
But then they're like, yeah, turn your lights off and hide under a desk and practice that for a little
Now,
bit.
elementary schools and middle schools are not like that. They're locked the fuck up. Like
Yeah.
you can't get into those schools without somebody like buzzing you in.
So they make their way from the mall to the movie theater. This is when we're introduced to Luke Perry and David Arquette.
Yeah.
You're very sweet. I
They're
love
cute
their,
friends.
yeah, I thought it was a cute little like friendship
No.
first, maybe a
Yeah.
little romance sometimes. Think they got drunk and maybe just made out a little bit just as
I mean,
friends.
they joke around about it in a very non-90s way.
Yeah.
Like when he's like, if I have another beer, like I might, he says something like, I might sleep with you. And he's like, yeah, but then you wouldn't call me afterwards. Like he's not like, what the fuck, man? Like his reaction is very cute. I think they would have been very cute vampire friends. Like he was like, let's start a band. I was like, oh my gosh, how cute would that be?
Oh man, to be stuck for eternity with someone who like wants to start a band with you. Oh geez, I just feel my anxiety just kind of going through the roof right now thinking about it. And then you're also introduced to these just dipshit dudes led by Jeffrey, who's Buffy's boyfriend. Okay,
The world's worst boyfriend.
oh geez, he's really bad. And then you've got, I forget the name of the dickhead pervert that like slaps
Can
her
I
ass
borrow
later.
her?
Ugh. Fucking worthless. Who
Not
cares? Just
even
call him
worth
pervert.
noting. Yeah.
Yeah. And 'cause I know the dude that gets attacked by Paul Reubens later, his name's Grueler.
Grueler, because they say his name quite a bit.
So yeah, so this is just really quick. We're just introducing ourselves to all the characters. We don't know if Gruller is alive or dead until he comes back later as a vampire and starts,
Safe to
fucking.
assume he didn't make it.
Yeah. Well, and then you never know. Well, the thing is, because you also don't know what happens to Cassandra. Like, you assume she's just
Yeah,
eaten and
that's
dead,
true.
but you don't see her ever show up again, you know? But I thought the whole point was to, eat cats, but people become vampires, kind of
Yeah.
situation. Especially when you have people like in graveyards popping up and becoming vampires. So you do get another nightmare. I'm glad they didn't show the flashback of her like as a slave on a farm in Virginia.
I
Because the idea is like, because if you're saying that like all the slayers look like Christy Swanson.
Maybe they don't all look like her. They don't actually say that. She
Or did they
just,
just.
she, maybe when she imagines herself in the dream of like other, slayers, it just looks like her, but that's not actually what they look like. Could be pretty deep. Probably not, but it could be.
Maybe. So, again, you're having like another nightmare.
This is the nightmare with the red ribbon.
This is the nightmare, right, with the red ribbon where, it looks pretty comfy. Her just kind of just snuggling it up on him.
Yeah, their connection, like Lothos, like and the Slayer, is really interesting because it doesn't feel sexual. It feels like it feels like Dracula without the sexual parts, if that makes sense.
I think so.
Like almost like paternal, like the dark side of like her like more paternal relationship of like with Merrick.
Yeah, I don't really exactly understand the rules of how this works. It feels like the Slayers are born to fight Lothos. So
Yeah.
that means up until this point, the hundreds of years we've been doing this, no Slayer has ever successfully beaten Lothos.
Yeah.
Man, if I was.
Maybe they didn't even make it to Lothos. Like maybe another random vampire even kills them before they get there.
That's why I'm like, if I'm Merrick, I just, how do you keep your self-esteem? Like if you've failed at something, if all you know is failure, because that's all you've done is fail.
Well, okay. First of all, don't be so harsh to Merrick.
Well, and clearly it's
He's trying his fucking best. Second,
maybe.
the Slayer's job isn't just to defeat that one big bad guy. Like, it's also to keep all the other baddies at bay in the meantime. So, like, she's also helping save people every day from random minions.
Yeah, but they all answer to Lothos.
So.
I guess so.
They can make other vampires and kill people. So, you know what? Merrick is doing a great job. Okay.
I guess so. The other thing that's taken up, a lot of Buffy's mental energy here is planning this dance, which I originally wrote down as senior prom, but then they say
It's the
after the
senior dance.
it's the senior dance, not the prom. There's like four other dances. I thought that was a pretty funny exchange
Yeah.
later on in the gym. But yeah, this whole idea of just, they're planning the dance. They're also at this, I don't know what it is, just with these teen movies where there's always some seedy bar that teenagers are allowed in.
Yeah.
Just like and there is one in the Buffy show, right? What's the name of that bar?
Yeah, the bronze.
Oh, Jesus, where it's like just
It's a
literally
place
just.
where like young underage people can go in, but they serve alcohol to people who are over 21. It's like a wristband or stamp situation.
Do you really think fucking Spike's gonna walk in and have an ID and get a wristband and a hand stamp?
I mean, it's possible. He goes in there all the time.
Do they ever show them?
I wish they would, but no.
I'm curious to see what the age range is in these sorts of bars, because it's literally your only it's 17-year-olds or 300-year-olds. There's I don't see any just regular grown ass adult in
Like
any of these
30-year-olds
places.
olds, yeah.
No. It's such a weird dual slices of a demographic there.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, of course, you run into Luke Perry and David Arquette again. David Arquette, put that hot dog away. Get the fuck out of here. And first of all, you only had so much money. You got your hot dog. And now you get the fuck out of here, man.
I love the way they split the hot dog, though. That, like, David Arquette takes the actual, like, frank of the hot dog. And then Luke Perry takes the bun instead of them, like, splitting it in half. Like, so they each get half a hot dog. I also was fully convinced that that waitress in the bar was Ricky Lake, and I could not find evidence of that being her, but it sounds and looks like her.
It could be. I'm just going to go ahead and believe it's Ricky Lake.
I hope so.
Gosh, you know, that's so 90s. I haven't thought about Ricky Lake in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I think this is pretty shortly after this. This is when Merrick and Buffy finally are, like, more formally introduced. Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, here's your situation. I know.
Just
about
also your- popping up after practice in the gym, and she's just having a conversation. I would have ran.
Yeah, he's like, I like your lunges or whatever the fuck he says. Just standing there like a fucking weirdo in
her tumbles.
Oh, especially the way he says it too. It's just like, I like your tumbles. In his Donald Sutherland-y fucking way.
Not sound
just
like that at all.
Slithering. I'm pretty sure Donald Sutherland just hopped in the room because that was impeccable. Thank you. So he fucking hops in. He's like, I like your flips and your lunges. I can say
lunges.
I heard you've been dreaming and menstruating.
He does.
And then he's like, oh, you want me to explain myself? Oh.
Oh, he gives her such little information at a time. Like, it's
well, why does he slow drip that information? Yeah. He even demonstrates. He's like, look, we're working to catch up. Now look, have I led every slayer in the history of time to their deaths? Yes. Granted. Am I already losing my touch because it took me however many years to find you when you clearly look like the rest of them? You know, I don't know.
I mean, he's exhausted. Like, after he dies in this movie, is he just going to be reborn as a baby and then have to find her all over again? Like a new one?
No, I wrote this down, and because I was thinking about this too. One, spoiler alert, Merrick dies, but I'm like, he explained that he gets reborn, so I'm kind of like, is it really that big a deal when he dies? But
like, but is he reborn as a grown man? Like, is he resurrected?
You're right. I was curious about that too, and I'd actually written it down because, I mean, you know, they treat his whole death scene like it's all supposed to be like sad and shit. He's got his, like, you know, don't forget. We know what he says. The one cardinal rule about vampires is 10 is way worse than one.
Yeah. And he should have, like, why weren't you teaching her all these things when you were alive?
I don't think he says that during, I think it's the
no,
scene before.
It's about the music.
Oh, right.
When the music stops, right. All that's left is, and then he stops. And she says it later. She finishes it.
It's like Coachella. When the music stops, all that's left are the memories. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, so I'm just like, as he's dying, I'm like, well, he said he's going to be reborn, so we're okay. But I was curious, and I wrote this down because I wasn't sure. Does he, like, sprout up off the ground? Like, is he like those people in the graves? Like, does he just bounce back? But I do think he's reborn as a baby, but a baby kind of like, not unlike in Look Who's Talking, where like he might not have the ability to communicate with his mouth, but he can process the world and communicate with other babies.
That is absolutely not what's happening.
I like the idea though too of he gets born and then you have this little baby watcher with his little baby hat and baby
that
trench
would
coat.
Be cute. Yeah, that's
oh
very
my
cute.
God, I love that. And then this little baby needs to, because there's no new slayer, it's still Buffy, so this little baby now, wherever it gets born, is now going to try and find this grown-ass woman. I just like the idea
it's me,
of like
Merrick.
Yeah, but like at this point, like I don't know, I like the idea of just like a toddler Merrick being like, I gotta train you, I've got all my knowledge and what have yous, and I don't know. So
I just pictured him being resurrected, but then at the same time I'm like, okay, that doesn't make sense, because then like he would have been like, hey, if I die, like, it's cool, I'm gonna resurrect probably within a couple months and we'll pick right back up where we left off. I assume that he's born as like a new person, and like as he grows, like then he has to find that other slayer. So I think the vampires have a huge advantage if Merrick dies. I don't know.
I feel like the vampires have like a very good advantage the entire time, but yet kind of squander it, you know,
they're regularly. Very reckless. They're very reckless.
Very reckless. Because also at the end of this movie, it's like, okay, well now like all of these people know about the existence of vampires.
Yeah.
Like they're not
now
even like,
yeah, they're going to carry their pepper spray now.
Yeah, they go so out of their way to find out the identity of this teenage girl, and they're like, ah, she's been unmasked, blah 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 blah. Let's just start bashing through windows. Which I'm also like, if you're like reaching through, like, I don't know again how vampire lore works, but if you're breaking a window in like in a way where your arm reaches inside, that's still entering. Like, you can't do that as a vampire. Get the fuck out of here.
So one of the things that the show clarifies really well, and I think a lot of vampire, like teen vampire shows, like are very good at, is a school is a public, like those, that's a public school, which implies that anyone is welcome, so they don't need an invitation. Like the same way they wouldn't need an invitation to a bar or a store or anything like that. They don't have to be students there.
So they can just show up to an elementary school.
Yes. They should be able to show up any public place they can show up at. It's when it's someone's like home or a private place that like only select people are allowed to enter. Yeah.
My question is, if vampires pay local taxes, then yes, sure, I'll believe that. If they are paying into it, because then, yeah, it is. It's if they're a taxpayer and that is, yeah, it's theirs. That would be my, that's where I would probably land on it. If I was, if this was a court of law.
No, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that, because if I'm from a different city or a different state, I can still go to public establishments anywhere, whether I pay taxes or not, in that particular area.
True. It just makes it cleaner. I don't know.
No, I get it. And I think they're not allowed in. So it does seem weird that they would be able to reach their arms in. But some of them, she did say they're seniors. So there were some of them that technically were invited because it's the senior dance and they've been vampified like since then. So all seniors are invited to this dance.
But then could the vampire seniors just invite the other vampires in? Or is that kind of what happens?
You have to be a human to invite someone in.
So can a vampire enter any vampire's house unannounced?
Yeah, I guess so.
Because vampires don't have that. It's hard if you don't have that home security. I guess that is why people are walking in on Dracula all the time while he's sleeping, trying to stab him up and shit.
People are fucking getting in his castle all the time. And right. Buffy, they're always in and out of vampire dwellings.
So I would think that if I had like a human pal, like a Renfield or something, I would transfer the title of the castle to his name. So then I could still live there, but still have that security of other vampires. Well, I guess, never mind. I guess you don't have to worry about other vampires showing up to your Dracula castle. You're worried about vampire
like
slayers.
Like Van Helsing or something.
Yeah. So, you know, never mind. Thanks for following me on the tangent. Not just you, but
everyone.
All of you listening. Thank you.
So sorry.
Yeah. So they make it to the graveyard. Again, you know, Merrick's just like, hey,
come with me to the graveyard.
Yeah, I could show you all of this, but no, let me continue to be a creep and get you to the graveyard. And she goes. It was only when he really started knowing about the dreams. That's when she was like, okay, fine. That is pretty weird. How else would you know that? Fuck you. But
I would still want to know more before I go to the dark graveyard with a strange man. I would still need more information and context.
I was gonna say, good thing she went too, because he was really getting his ass kicked pretty quickly.
He was.
Without even telling her that there were multiple vampires.
Yeah.
And again, what an asshole. He deserves to get punched in the face for that.
I don't think he knew there were multiple vampires, because he only mentions the one.
He knew there were two, or that's what he says. He was like, and she was like, did you know I was fucking sitting on another fucking vampire? And he was like, well, he was trying to say, I did it because I needed to see that you could react or whatever the fuck. And she punches him right in the face and says, you didn't fucking tell me, fuck you.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And I think it's good that they portray Buffy as not being the brightest, because she does go to the cemetery with a strange man that she's just met who's super creepy. So I'm like, okay, at least it ended up working out.
If someone showed up and said, Natalie, you are the next in a line of vampire slayers,
I'd be fucking stoked.
You just need to come with me to this graveyard in the middle of the night. Are you down to do that?
Well, having the context of like knowing what Buffy is, fuck yeah, I'd go. I'd be like, oh my God, it's finally happening. At the ripe age of 37.
Same thing. He was like, look, it took me a while to find you. We're a little behind on our training. But, you know, I also like this Buffy and Merrick dynamic. You know, when you have the kind of grizzled, seen it all trainer, and, you know, maybe the little bit, I don't want to say like past the prime, but just a little too old, you know, to, you know, really the training would have been more beneficial years prior. But, you know, I think of, you got your Luke Skywalker and your Yoda, right? You've got your Rocky and your Mickey, all same similar situations.
Yeah.
People who were just initially like, I don't know, too old, just not going to work, little outside of the box.
Buffy's supposed to be 16. No, she's supposed to be a senior, actually, here. They take her age back, actually. So she's supposed to be like 18. But I guess that is a little old. That is a little old. But luckily, she's pretty athletic already. Like,
yeah, she
seems like she caught up. Yeah, she caught on to boxing and fucking karate pretty quickly. The flipping seems unnecessary, and like you'd be winded by the time you were ready to throw a punch. But that's just me. I'm not a gymnast. Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah, if you have the option of it looking cooler, I say,
yeah,
go with
that. That would put fear into me if I were a vampire, but like, damn, she could do gymnastics too.
Yeah. Merrick had already run into Luke Perry at this point when he was passed out in the middle of the street. Also, just weird timing where, like, also Paul Rubens floats up and then gets Benny.
Yeah.
So all that was very weird without Donald Sutherland ever noticing this. So,
well,
that
he
was
didn't even know
weird.
He was there. So he just kind of like, whoop, just grabs him.
Because, yeah, after the graveyard scene, we're back at, I keep wanting to say Pike's place, but this just reminds
I know.
Me of that. Right. And this pretty funny exchange with now vampire David Arquette and Luke Perry, where he's just like floating up.
You don't realize that he's like on the second story when you first see him like banging at the window.
And I like just how like not like super panicked Luke Perry is.
Yeah, no. At first he's like, oh man, like I was worried about you.
Caught your place like 50 times, bro. But, and I just love just David Arquette. Like, he's not even hiding, you know. He's like, I'm a fucking vampire. I'm here, bro. I am hungry. I just like Luke Perry's response was just like, you're floating. You need to get the fuck away from here, bro. Yeah. I know what the fuck's going on with you right now, but I'm not having it.
And he could slam through his window and just like grab at him. So that is inconsistent.
And if it's somewhere that he's been invited into prior to becoming a vampire, does it all have to be re-invited as
once
a vampire?
Once you are a vampire, that's when the new invitation starts, because you're essentially a new person. And a fucking demon at that point.
Okay, what about a non-public establishment like a 24-hour fitness? You know, like, how does that work? Do you need to be reinvited?
It's a business. No,
even
it's
if
a
you
bit.
have your membership that's current.
That is a business. Even if you're not a member, you can walk into a 24-hour fitness and talk about being a member.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
No,
So
it's
there
just
you
making
have it.
sure. Yeah.
You're gonna run every situation you can think of by me.
Only as they keep popping in my head. I just want to keep bringing it up just because, From Dusk Till Dawn did nothing to solidify any vampire knowledge for me. None of that made sense.
Here's one that I think is fun. They don't need to be invited into a car or vehicle. They can go into anyone's cars. Because
Which.
it's not like a, I don't know, a place where people stay, I guess,
I
or
mean,
live.
a lot
I
of
mean, there
people
are
live in
people,
cars.
yeah, but if it's not, if it's just your car, they don't have to, yeah.
See, but legally though, it's like how I don't know if this is true, or maybe I've never tested it before, so I don't want to care. But like it's like you can like drink a beer in your car, you just can't have your keys in the ignition.
That
Or of
is not
course,
true.
yeah, I'm
You
pretty sure
can't
it's not
drink a
true.
beer in your car.
As I'm saying it out loud, it does sound
You
pretty dumb.
cannot. He's like, that I've definitely never done that before.
But I'm like, you own a car, and if you're the legal owner of this car, I feel like that you should still be entitled. Like that can be a living space. What
No,
about?
I think they should have to be invited. Like say you're at my house, you could invite a vampire into my house. Even though you don't live there. That's a
Really?
lie. That's a lie. It does have to be
Yeah.
someone who lives there. But we've talked about this before though with Fright Night.
Yeah.
Because we were like, what about, somebody who's like staying at your place for a while? Are they able to invite vampires in?
Right. I was like,
It's
how do
just it's a
squatters'
lot of
rights
logistics. It's a
work
lot of
into
fucking
that?
logistics. We are
Yeah.
very hung up on this.
And then there's RVs. How does that work?
Yeah. A lot of gray area here.
A lot of gray area here. So,
So sorry, everyone. I hope you remember all this.
I know. Buffy's friend Cassandra gets kidnapped. And we're led to believe gets eaten by Lothos and company, in that nice yellow jacket that, I mean, I was gonna say April O'Neil jacket.
Yeah,
That's
it's
what
great.
I love, a strong, bold yellow,
Hell yeah.
whether you're April O'Neil, Dick Tracy, it's a good situation.
Yeah, yellow jacket is always good.
So again, we've got, just back, dude, and fucking Merrick just not knowing how to stay out of women's locker rooms. There's so many times he could have talked to Buffy throughout the day. Why does he have to wait until
Yeah,
that moment?
anytime. At least he waited until everyone else cleared out. But like, I don't, she was just putting away her stuff, I guess. But
Doesn't she
I
go like,
do.
this is a nude area?
Yeah, she does. I like their whole interaction in the locker room. Like it feels like they're getting more real with each other. Love that he throws the knife at her face. That's fantastic.
I wonder how many times he got it wrong and just threw a knife at somebody's
He's like,
head
oh,
and
God damn
killed
it, that wasn't her.
them. That's why it's taken him so long. He's going from town to town. Just, I don't know.
In
So,
locker rooms, just throwing fucking knives at young girls' faces. He's like wanted in four or five states at this point.
I know, just the fucking the Tri-City knife thrower. Fuck the I don't know. I do appreciate, I thought it was pretty funny how he's like, yeah, that's how I knew you're the Slayer, and then she's like, yeah, but you still threw a fucking knife at my face, dude.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you. It's not pleasant for me to have to do that, and I don't guarantee that I can react that well all the time, but.
Yeah.
So fuck you. Then you go into your Rocky training montage again with a very weird fitting song, but hey, whatever.
I've watched that montage so many times that that song doesn't feel out of place to me anymore, but you don't really know how much time has passed in this training montage. Like, it feels like it's been a really long time that they're training, but then you also realize, like, how long could they possibly be planning this dance? So it couldn't be too long, right? Because I was thinking it was like months.
I would say at best it was.
Weeks? Yeah, all of her training outfits are fantastic. And just all the fashion, all the 90s fashion in this movie is so good. I had to make sure I make a note of that. It's important.
It's all super fun. But at the cost of all of this, she's, coming into her own as a vampire slayer, but a lot of the other obligations in her life, a lot of the social niceties and shit, I don't know. See, it's all kind of fallen a little bit by the wayside. Showing up late to school, you got pervy fucking. I just like how just every adult man, I just say, is pervy in this fucking
In
movie.
this movie, they're pretty bad.
This conversation with Steven Root, where he's like, you just call me Gary, the party guy. And
Talking
she's
about
like,
doing drugs and shit. She looks like she's on drugs, though, with how fucking tired she is.
meanwhile, you've got Luke Perry, who's like, yep, I've seen all I need to see. I'm getting the fuck out of here. I am
Good for
good.
him.
Yeah, let's get the fuck out of here. Does he work at that place?
The repair shop?
Yeah.
Well, it looks like he lives on top of it. So maybe he works there
Right.
and gets a discount on rent as like part of his payment.
And like brings his guitar to work and has like multiple motorcycles or just the one motorcycle? I
He
don't
needs a
understand.
van and a motorcycle, but also can't afford a hot dog. There's inconsistencies here. You have two vehicles.
And that wasn't a bad place that he lived in.
No, it looked great.
Yeah.
Super
I
cool for
mean,
like a guy, like I'm assuming he's like 18, 19,
something like that. Yeah.
presumably. Yeah, that's a great place for him.
Back to Buffy, meanwhile, she's just roaming down alleys, just finding vampires where she can just to fuck them up, you know.
In one of the best outfits ever in movie cinema history, I just based my whole wardrobe, my whole life off of that outfit in the alley. I love her.
I don't even know if I remember the outfit.
She's wearing very 90s style jeans with a black belt, a little hoodie, and like a black tank top, and her cute little beanie. And she looks like she's
Oh
ready to
yeah.
kick some ass and some boots. Ugh,
Love
amazing.
it. Merrick says she gets a little reckless.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. And then also, fucking check yourself, dude. You know?
Yeah, she did a great job.
Yeah. They have that little bit where they kind of bond a little bit. Merrick explains to her just about her cramps a little bit more. And the whole nature of things. He talks about how he's born a million times, and he just and it sounds really sad, to be honest. He's just like,
Honestly, they've been doing this training for fucking weeks, and this is the first time that you're like talking about the menstrual cramps. Should have been one of the first things he brought up, because that
yeah.
shit would be freaking me out. I'd be like, damn, I need to go to the doctor. Like, he should have brought that up right away so she wasn't worried about that. And then, like, even just sharing his history and the role that he plays. But I like that they have this cute little scene and he tells his joke. And when he smiles, it's the cutest. It's
No,
so
it's not.
cute.
No,
I
it's
love
not.
it.
It's
I love
so creepy.
it. Oh my gosh, you're the worst. I think they have a very cute, like, father-daughter dynamic going on because clearly her parents are like super absent, like the way that they portray them. Like, she's like, she probably thinks my name is Bobby. And she's like, do you know what time it is? And she's 10, about 5 to 10. And she's like, I knew this watch was slow. Like, she didn't give a shit about her. So Merrick is like her little father figure.
It wasn't
Adorable.
really a joke as it was just
I
him being
thought.
a little sarcastic,
That's true. That's
but that's
true.
okay. I get it, and I get what they were trying to do. Fuck, I think this is when Lothos eats a cat.
Fucker.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's important to talk about Luke Perry's attempted escape from town and Paul Rubens creeping up on him.
Right, because that happens pretty much. Yeah, that happens next, right? Is that like Pike's taken off, and also good for him for being like, oh, okay, this is a little weird, I'm getting the fuck out of town. I mean, even after he was saved, he was like, oh no, there's buses too, I'm gonna hop on a bus and still get the fuck out of here, I'm good. But still feels compelled to stay for Buffy, because he can fight a vampire a little bit on his own, he's not too bad.
I just like that it builds this rivalry between him and Paul Rubens. It's one of my favorite things about the movie.
I know he refers to Luke Perry as her dog,
Yeah.
like later on, you know. But you know, they make it back to Buffy's house afterwards. And, you know, you get this kind of cute little moment between the two of them. She's clearly pretty flustered because she's like, "Well, I'm gonna go to bed," and her arm's still covered in blood. And she's like,
She's like, I
"She's
can
like,
wash this upstairs.
yeah." She's like, "I'm just gonna go to bed. Don't worry, it's fine. The sheets will soak it up." You know, he's like, "I'm just gonna
I
stay
would
up."
be flustered if Luke Perry was in my fucking living room as well. Are you kidding?
I know. She was like, "You can use the guest room," and he's like, "No, I'll just be out here." And I'm like, "No, you know, I offered you the guest room. Take the guest room. Like, my
Yeah,
parents
get
will
the
be
fuck
home.
off my
Don't.
couch.
Yeah, you're still kind of greasy and dirty, dude. Like, let's get off the furniture." Gosh, let me think. They finally notice that Cassandra is gone only because Cassandra has that jacket, Hilary
Never
Swank's
gave back
jacket,
the yellow jacket.
and that's like the
Yeah.
only reason they're like, "Where the fuck is Cassandra?" But then they kind of just forget about her immediately afterwards, anyway.
Yeah. Which is a good, it's a good scene because it's showing like, you know, Buffy changing and evolving and them still being just the most shitty human beings. You know, they all they care about is that jacket. I mean, Cassandra wasn't really that great of a character either, so I would have been really upset about the jacket as well. But it also is when you like start seeing like Buffy's reaction to things changing because that same shitty friend that says, "Can I borrow her?" like gives her like the world's biggest smack on the ass. And I will say, his reaction to her attacking him is amazing because he's so surprised. And like, it's really great because he's just like terrified, but he's also looking like, I can't believe how much she overreacted. Like, he looks like surprised that like she's upset, but then also kind of kicked his ass. But then you have fucking Jeffrey.
Fucking Jeffrey.
Jeffrey says, "Hey, what is it with you? I'm sorry, that's your response to me being mad that your friend fucking like that is a grab." Like,
I thought you were going to mention Jeffrey saying to his friend, "Keep your hand off my thing,
that was
or I'll
next.
pop you a new one."
That was next because he went from like asking her, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" And then when the guy like then like goes for Jeffrey, then he gets like defensive of her, but also like kind like claims ownership of her, you know. It's a really, I think it's a lot more clever and well thought out than people give this scene like credit for. But also I just can't get over how hard he grabs and smacks her ass. Like that definitely warranted being fucking body slammed. Like he deserved it.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah, you should have his fucking neck snapped. Fuck him.
Yeah. What a dick.
100%. And then, oh, geez. We're back at the basketball game, which I spoke about a little earlier on. I don't know if there's a whole lot I need to add other
It's
than
cute that Merrick is watching her like her cheer performance. I love that.
I'm like, I don't know. I just
I
feel
think that's cute because now they're like, now he's not creepy anymore because they like they've bonded.
no, I don't.
Wow.
I still don't feel comfortable with him in a school yet. In a school setting, that's still very uncomfortable. No,
That's
thank you.
fair.
And I like how they like clearly they're like, "All right, this dude's I don't know if they know he's a vampire, but they're like,
His
okay, this
pointy
kid's like
ears.
he's got pointy ears and he's like just frightening people and floating
Yeah.
around." But then when Buffy runs after him, someone yells, "There's a girl on the court. Oh my God."
Yeah.
But everyone's like, I just like how like the referees and the teachers or the coaches or whatever are just like struggling to be like, how to address this vampire on the court right now. Nobody wants, it's like,
And he's like floating down from the basket after like doing the slam dunk,
yeah.
just like arms out, like check it out. And everyone's just like, huh. They're more shocked that there's a cheerleader running onto the basketball court.
I do think that tracks for a teenager that becomes an immortal vampire is to be obnoxious and showboat on a basketball
Absolutely.
court. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this leads to the motorcycle chase. Again, fucking Buffy runs outside and Ken is just constantly bombarded. You know, you'd mentioned it, you
You
know, of
want some
course.
real power between your legs? She says, yeah, I do. Takes that fucking motorcycle. She's so great.
So you got your motorcycle chase into the carnival fight. And then this is when Lothos first appears in real life to Buffy.
Big moment. And he just has like Dracula powers to hypnotize her, which always feels so hard to watch because you're like, what are we doing here? He could have killed her right then.
And this is where I was unsure about the rules between Lothos and the Slayer and the Watcher and how all that works. Because even like Merrick's like, ah, she's not ready. And like, and even he's just like, ah, yeah, okay. All right. I'll wait until you're
Yeah,
ready.
it seems like
It's like
they
he wants
have
to.
some sort of rules. I don't know.
Yeah.
They've been
It's
dealing with
like,
each other for a while.
you know, it's like the Predator, you know, like the Predator isn't going to go out and just, well, no, even though Lothos does kill random cats and Cassandras, but
Yeah.
the Predator's like,
That's
no, I
big
want.
game. Buffy's like big game.
Yeah. So. That was my kind of understanding of it, even though he's like, oh, okay, she's not ready yet. But like literally he's like, oh, I'm gonna give you like a day. Because also I want to dance. So I don't know. You've got again just Merrick doing just the dumbest job of trying to like attack Lothos. Doesn't work at all. So Merrick's dead. I mean, allegedly. He's just like, he's probably just going to say, like, when the music stops, I'll come back as a baby. Find me.
Aw, it's sad when Merrick dies. Like makes her like lose focus of the task at hand, you know? And
Yeah.
apparently, yeah, she does forget that like she doesn't know how it works because he didn't tell her shit.
You know, I appreciate Buffy in Merrick's absence now. Like, I think this is when she's like trying to connect with her friends a little bit and be like,
Go shopping for a dress.
is this, or like to have that conversation of like, is all this so important? Like in the grand scheme of things, like, and then that's where it's just like, this is like our last dance as seniors, you know? And then like her friend being like, oh, well, there's actually the spring fling, and then there's the prom, and then there's the other one, you know, blah, blah, blah. Which, you know, Buffy tries to connect with her friends in that way and can't, you know, because they clearly have no idea, and it makes sense. It tracks that they'd have no idea all of the death that's going on around them. Or again, even whatever happens to their friend Cassandra, right? Only noticing in the context of a jacket that's missing, you know, that wasn't last season. It's retro. Who's so fucking cold? I'd
I'm
be
sorry.
so
That
pissed.
jacket is timeless. It's a leather moto jacket. Come on now.
Right.
I like that she still tries. Like she still tries to hold on to her old life and go shopping for her dress and wants to go to the dance and everything. And she still thinks she's going with her shitty boyfriend, which is all fun. But as much as she says she's moving on, like Lothos is still coming for you, girl. Like he knows who you are. So like she can sit and pretend she's just gonna live her normal life, but like she's got to at least confront that issue.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, she was pretty quick to be like, you know, never mind. I'm not going to fucking bother with this. Good thing, you know, you have that kind of dual preparing scene, right? Where you have her getting ready for the dance. And then you also have Luke Perry being like, I guess I'm the Slayer now. Because I'm going to
I love
start
it.
fastening stakes and shit, you know.
He's into
So,
it.
hell yeah, he's into it. So.
And she, deep down, she knew because she would not have worn fucking boots with that cute ass dress that she wears to the dance. Like she was still prepared. Like she was like, I can make a steak, you know,
Yeah.
out of some fucking dance chairs. But yeah, she had boots on, so she was ready.
I like the dress with the boots and the blood aesthetic. And so even though she didn't get very bloody at all in this, but you know, just thinking of, you know, one of my five Boo movies, Ready or Not, you know,
Yeah, she was
again,
wearing
kind of,
Converse,
yeah.
which is very cute.
I think so too. So Buffy is just like, you know, hey, I just want to be I just want to be me. I just want to go back. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to go to this dance. She goes. Ugh, the limo doesn't come to pick her up. Oh, no.
That
and then she
she
goes.
should have known, like, at that point, she should have known that
I
her
think
and
so,
Jeffrey were
too.
not going together. I would have been like, all right, note taken or hint
Yeah.
taken.
Yeah, fuck that friend to Jeffrey's too, because she's like, have you seen him around? And he's like, oh, are you gonna hit me if I say no? And it's like, no, dude, I'm only gonna hit you if you grab my ass, you
If you
fucking
fucking
asshole.
like assault me, then yeah,
Yeah.
I'm gonna assault you back.
I'm gonna punch you just for that fucking response.
Yeah, I would have punched him right in the dick. Yep.
Yeah,
100%.
absolutely. I was hoping during the training montage, you know, when she's doing like the roll and then the throwing of the stake and against the dummy that they put together,
Yeah,
but it like goes through the leg. I would have liked a shot of her doing it and the stake goes
right in
right
the
through the
dick.
dick. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then,
I mean, this movie is rated PG-13.
I still think that would be fun. I mean, David Arquette gets to wave a hot dog around.
That's true. She does split that hot dog in half.
But they don't show her splitting it in half. It's this weird cut that looks
Yeah.
really bad.
But the.
So I would have liked a stake right through the dick of that mannequin, and then a shot, a slow zoom in shot of Merrick going, oh, kind of situation.
I wish
Thunders.
everyone could see that face
Oh.
like that Kyle just made.
So again, I do a great
It's
Donald
great.
Sutherland
Oh,
impression.
yeah.
Yeah.
Spot on.
So, but boy, does she find Jeffrey fucking Jenny. And just, I just, Jenny was quiet the whole time. So I wouldn't have suspected Jenny.
Jenny. Oh,
But fuck Jenny.
no. I'm going to tell you why. So, Jenny, hilarious. There's a moment where they're at like the lunch table when the montage is happening, and she, like, you know, she's saying goodbye to Jeffrey. She's like kissing him, and she like walks away, and then she runs back.
Yeah.
And he like catches her. Jenny is sitting there looking miserable. And then as soon as Buffy leaves again and he sits down, Jenny is all smiles and sunshine and rainbows. So, like, definitely clocked her. Also, the reason why he's with Jenny is because she's a fucking basic ass, following ass, sheep ass bitch. And so Jeffrey can't handle how strong and independent and fucking awesome Buffy is. So he's like, I'm gonna pick this girl that just agrees with everything everybody says and will just do what I say and just be cute. And that's that. Sorry, I had really strong feelings about Jenny. But
Yeah, fuck Jenny.
reasonably so. Yeah, fuck Jenny. So she's, her friends are just awful. And they're like making fun of everyone at the dance, like as they're walking by. Terrible people. But
Terrible
they are
people.
funny.
At this point, I would have just left the dance and not stuck around like
Yeah.
Buffy did. But I'm
Yeah.
glad she did for a number of reasons. One, because she would have missed Luke Perry showing up looking.
Finally shaved off that soul patch too.
I think that's where he gets his power. I didn't
Oh,
like
really?
it.
I think he looks so good all clean shaven. His hair is all slicked back. Oh my goodness.
I like how when he throws her the jacket, like it's not like, oh, use this jacket. It's like helpful. It's just probably like, oh, it's cold out. Or mostly it's just like, hey, you're gonna look really cool with this on here.
I think it's that she'll look really cool with it on, but also like she would get a lot more cut up and bruised with nothing protecting her arms. Like it's the same effect as like if you're wearing a leather jacket on like a motorcycle. Like if you're going into combat, like have some armor.
And you know, they share a very lovely kiss.
Oh, it's super cute.
I don't like how people ask, like, are you going to beat me up if I ask you this question? But I did like, you know, that was a cute exchange when he's like, you're going to beat me up if I ask you to dance. And she's like,
Yeah.
maybe.
Yeah.
You
Cause he
know?
says it in a cute way. He's not like actually being like, you know,
Yeah.
are you going to be a bitch about this? Like, no, he's being cute and flirty.
So the vampires attack and show up. It's pretty funny because of course they can't get through the front door, so they're all just standing there doing their all motions and
just
shit.
Waving
They're
around.
there are so much background vampires just kind of waving in place. They all
But like
fight
the
Buffy
Street
one at a
Fighter, like
time.
the Street Fighter effect where they're just like bobbing, waiting for you to do something.
Just vibing in the background.
Yeah.
Love it.
And they look great. They're all so 90s with their teased hair and they all big earrings and leather and all the things. Oh, they look great.
I love that. It just reminded me of when I lived in San Francisco. One of my older roommates was into LARPing. And they would do it in a part of Golden Gate Park. But I was reading a book that he had, and it was basically kind of all the rules of vampire LARPing, and it had a lot of like, I don't think it's like stock photography or whatever, but like a vampire's, but it was all that kind of aesthetic, all lots of just teased hair,
I love it.
very just washed out and bright and just, and just looking just very much like 80s, 90s kind of vampires. I dug it a lot. I never LARPed myself though.
I did not realize that there were like rules to maybe this is me being very naive on the subject, but like I didn't realize there were rules to LARPing. Like I thought this was like a free space to like do you.
Well, no, because you don't want to be that asshole that's like, ooh, I've got a force field. See, you can't hurt me. You can't just make up rules as you
No, but
go.
I mean like costume wise, like how you
Oh.
look. Like are there rules to that? Like I can understand if you can't just have force fields. Like that's like when that makes sense.
No, I mean, I don't think so. I think you can look however you want, but I think just maybe when the book came out, maybe it was in the 90s, I don't know, or it was just a very dated book, I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah, if anybody
Yeah.
wants to take us vampire LARPing,
Don't.
especially invite Natalie.
Fucking don't.
Yeah. Oh. But yeah, and so but a lot of it also reminded me of just a lot of like at Spirit Halloween or Party City, when it's like all the models, with like the just
Yes.
generic vampire costumes.
And they always look outdated, no matter what fucking decade it is. They find a way to make it look old. And it could be like a costume that happened in the last year. And for some reason, that model still looks like she's from the fucking 80s or 90s.
And that's what those vampires remind me of. You have like the well-dressed Anne Rice vampires, which are
Yeah.
really just the two. It's, Rutger Hauer and Paul Rubens, and everybody else is just stock background vampire, which, unless you're like Gruuler or something, you're somebody that's,
A
you're
character.
introduced to before they become a vampire. So you've got the vampires basically just surrounding the gym. You've got Buffy, who's gonna go run off and take care of what's his face? Lothos, I've said it a million times. So you got Luke Perry kind of holding it down on one end. We switch back over. We've got, Buffy in her fight with what's his face? What's Paul Reubens' character's name? I'm sorry, it starts with an A.
Oh,
I always
yeah,
forget.
he has a interesting name that I always forget for how many times I've seen this movie.
Oh, one thing I forgot too. I just want to hop back really quick just because I loved the quote and it was in my notes. Back at the carnival fight, Buffy takes off in her motorcycle. Luke Perry sees what's going on, follows her. And then he kills one of the vampires and saves her. But I liked, she's like, what are you doing here? Of course, there's always that obligatory, like,
Yeah.
they're fighting and they're wrestling, and then they fought, and then, she falls on top and they're really
Love
close, like
it.
they're about to kiss.
Yeah.
She's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, what do you mean? I just saved your butt. Well, there was an exchange of butts. At least I didn't faint. And I thought that was just a very sweet
That's cute.
exchange.
Yeah.
That was probably my favorite Luke Perry line in the movie.
Yeah.
Is that like, at least I didn't faint. Did you notice the vampire that took over as DJ
I love
at the
him. How could
dance?
you not notice him? They show him like 10 times,
A
just having the
lot.
time of his life.
With that vest and that hat, I feel like he could be in a
Yeah.
ska band pretty quick.
Yes, he's definitely giving ska vibes.
I
Absolutely.
love it. Jeez. And then you've got Rutger Hauer, who's, I'm sorry, playing a very dumb looking violin.
Yeah.
I don't know where he got
Yeah,
that. And then
it's
also
really off looking.
playing with gloves. Is that like a vampire situation?
I think that's just part of his style. I don't know that that directly correlated to the violin. But
Yeah.
I thought that the students actually did like an okay job of fighting back in the beginning, and then they all get it gets kind of chaotic, but at first they were pulling it together.
You didn't
No?
see necessarily any of the kids die, right?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
There's that one person who like delivered his line so weird, where like he walks in and he's like holding his neck and he's like, oh, there's vampires, and it kind of faints and falls over. And I was
Oh,
like,
he's like, oh my gosh. I'm bleeding.
Really milked it. He's like, I get one line. I get the screen all to myself. I am just
It's a
coming
big
full
deal.
force with all of me.
That was his moment.
I'm ready, world. Are you? Yeah. That's what I was getting all from all of that. So I love that. But unfortunately, I don't know who that actor is. Also, did I miss this? Did he put holy water in that flask when he throws it at David Arquette's face? Was
Yeah,
that part of
because
the
it's.
preparing montage?
I don't know that they show him do that.
You're just supposed to assume it's holy water because the whole time it's just.
Well, David Arquette's face gets all burnt up.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
So
I
you
was
know
thinking
it's holy water. Vodka's not
maybe.
going to do that.
I don't know. There's so many different fucking vampire rules for the fucking. I don't fuck I know.
Well, vodka being thrown at them, having the same effect of acid isn't one that I've ever heard before. So I'm going to assume that that's holy water in the flask.
And then fire is supposed to work against vampires, and Buffy tries this, but it didn't seem to affect him much at all, other than maybe stall him for a minute.
That's where there's like a lot of gray area and wiggle room. It's like those like really old, powerful vampires, sometimes like things are less effective on them. So like when she held up the cross and he was like, please, like that's your weapon. You know, like I think at his age, it's just not even a thing anymore. But like the fresh young vampires, like they're not fucking with Christ. So they, you know, crucifixes work on them. Like Dracula. Dracula has a lot of special powers that a lot of vampires don't have.
Yeah, you just gotta learn over a period of time, I guess. That makes sense. So she heads back to the dance. He also follows her back to the dance. I
You
mean,
skipped one of my favorite parts.
which part's that?
When they have their whole like exchange before they go back to the dance, she kills, like stabs Paul Rubens.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was not super funny.
I think he's so funny. I love it because the sounds are silly, but I love his little wall kick that he does,
Yeah.
like out of pain. I think it's super cute. I love it.
And then he's like, and then Rutger Hauer's just like, ah, you've killed your first real one. That was my gift to him, is let you be killed by the Slayer, even though she didn't kill him. You know, so I guess her first like real kill, I guess, was, you know, fucking Lothos then, I guess. I don't know.
Well, not to her knowledge, she probably doesn't know that Paul Rubens is still kicking.
That's true. Kicking my out, kicking walls. So thank you for reminding me. And then of course, you know, stay behind for the credits if you want to see evidence of him still hamming it up. Rest in peace, Paul Rubens. He gets an Industry Legend Award, right?
Of
I mean,
course, of course.
I think the Large Marge scene in Pee-wee's Big Adventure qualifies that movie as a horror film because that's terrifying.
It's pretty terrifying.
Tell him Large Marge sent you. That movie's so good. That movie's perfect.
Is really good.
So, Lothos follows her back. You know, Lothos made this whole big deal about he wants to dance, but he didn't get to dance at all.
No.
First, he didn't even try because he was in another building playing a violin by himself.
Yeah,
So,
that's
okay.
not going to get anybody to dance with you.
And then where does he find this sword? And his sword's like a vampire thing? Or is that a Lothos thing?
I think that's a Lothos thing, and I think he just had that sword on hand. Like he just, if he knows he's going to be battling, just slip that sword.
Like a Ninja Turtle.
You can have like a little holster on your like belt, right, for your
Yeah,
sword. Yeah, that's a
sheath.
thing. There you go, a sheath.
That's fair.
And he's wearing a cape, so it could have been underneath there.
Yeah, I don't know if this is before or after. Well, Steven Root's just like issuing detention slips
I love it.
to all the
That's after
vampires.
the battle. Yeah, that's after the
Is
battle.
it? Okay. Yeah, but this battle really, it doesn't take a lot to take down
No.
Lothos, especially when his mind control thing doesn't work.
Well, and that's when I feel like maybe Merrick didn't do such a great job with the other Slayers because, like, if
Yeah.
it was that easy to take him down, like Buffy only had like a couple weeks of training. So, like, what were we doing with the other girls? Or like, what were their strengths? Apparently not many, but Buffy took care of that shit fast.
Yeah, well, same thing. It's like Luke's able to fucking like take down fuck Sith lords and shit after, and he doesn't even finish the whole training. He's like, he doesn't even like let Yoda die. He just fucking just vanishes, you know, or just takes off, you know, halfway through training. Even Rocky, like, since I'm still using, even Rocky, hey, spoiler alert, everybody, it's from a 1976 movie, but hey, he still lost to Apollo first time around,
You
but
know what?
that's
It's
okay.
about the journey. So even if you know that he lost, you
Yeah.
still will enjoy the movie.
So good on Buffy that she was able to. I mean, I guess it wasn't life or death for Rocky like it was for Luke or Buffy.
That's also not a chosen, like a chosen one situation too. Like, so I think there's a huge difference there.
He was chosen. He was chosen by Apollo Creed.
Well, not, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes them special, is that, like, you know, she's the chosen one and she's like the one.
Greatness thrust upon you kind of situation. Yeah, I hear that. She does dispatch Lothos pretty quick and with the help of
Yeah.
Luke Perry a little bit.
Barely.
Yeah, barely. And then I forget what Lotho says, you know, he's just like, whoops, or something,
Yeah.
like when he dies. And then just like, again, instead of exploding into dust, he's like, I'm just gonna cover my face with my cape.
Yeah. Just the
Goodbye.
shame of it all.
I'm
Yeah.
done. Yeah. He really just died of shame and embarrassment.
Yeah. He was like, oh,
Just getting fucking
man.
owned that quickly, you know.
Yeah.
She didn't even do all the training, you know. And I can fucking fight Lothos. Get the fuck out
Wasn't
of
even
here.
ready.
To which also I'm like, whoever's choosing these slayers, like if I was Merrick, I'd be like, look, clearly then it wasn't that hard. Could you have found me someone just a little better? Like, who
A
knows?
long time ago.
Or maybe he was finding them when they were much younger, like when they were 12, gives them like even 6 months of practice and was like, yeah, go find Lothos. Yeah, you're probably ready now. I don't know.
Yeah. And well, now, okay, now I'm thinking back to Merrick again. Sorry to circle back to
Sure.
this, but Buffy had asked him a question of some kind of like, well, what happens like once, like Lothos has stopped or something like that, and he's like, oh, well, like maybe I can go to heaven or like have a job or something. Like, was that an option? Like, is it just Lothos, or is it like all the vampires need to be stopped for him to like
Yes.
what gives him freedom? Like, this isn't like a reminds me of like the genie from Aladdin.
I know. I was about to say,
Like,
I think she has to wish for his freedom,
yeah, she has
I
to
think.
just wish for his freedom, which, you know,
But that's what I was saying earlier. That's why I was like, why is everything tied to Lothos specifically so much?
yeah. So does Merrick now go to heaven and not come back as baby Merrick?
Well, I think it depends on how quickly the reincarnation happens, right? Because I'm thinking if he hasn't been reincarnated yet,
In
like, yeah, I think he could,
limbo.
he'd be in limbo and then go to heaven. But if he becomes like born as a baby the next day, I mean, I think they're gonna have to kill that baby.
I don't think that's how it works.
I don't know the rules, but that
We think it's gonna end in baby murder.
just a hunch. Don't mind me.
Yeah. Sorry, I circled all the way back to that, but I was just so curious.
Yeah. Again, I don't know the Watcher rules, and they don't. And that's again the
They don't share
shame
a
of a
lot.
movie, because you only have so much time. You can't explain all the rules of baby
Yeah.
watchers and the such. But gosh, it pretty much wraps up after that. You know, they're like, oh, okay, cool. Hey, you know, vampire lord is dead. Okay, everything's sweet. Let's, of course, he's like, hey, you know, save the dance for you. Just always still being like, I'm gonna keep something cute in my back pocket in case we survive this.
Yeah, he even says, he says, I suppose you want to lead. And she's like, no. I thought that was cute too.
Yeah, it was very sweet. And then they hop on a motorcycle and just off into the, I guess off into the sunrise.
Yeah. Yeah,
Yeah,
100%.
100%. And fuck, yeah, that brings us to the end of this movie. Can you believe it?
Yeah, that's great. Love it. I like that ending. It's cute.
Anything else you want to say about the movie? Anything, any like stray notes, any points you want to bring up before we go into our final segments?
No, I really love this movie. And I have a lot of nostalgia for it because I did watch it when I was like a 5-year-old and then watched it for the rest of my life. I would love to know more about Merrick after this conversation. Like, can we get like a spin-off television series of Merrick and his hundreds of lives and
Love
solve
it.
that mystery? That would be great. And I think Christy Swanson and Luke Perry have really good chemistry. Like, for how, like, they're very cutesy in like high school about like how their romance is played out, but I think they have really good chemistry when they're having conversations, when they're like being like flirty, like all of it. Love it.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
agree. Well, that's all I got. Yeah, let's hear some taglines.
This movie has four taglines, and
Okay.
I'm embarrassed to say this is the first time that I've ever had to look up the definition of a word by reading a tagline. And it was for this movie.
Ooh, I almost don't want to know what the word is. Just tell me the taglines.
Okay, I'll go in a different order then.
Okay.
Sometimes it takes more than just good looks to kill.
Little
I had never
forced.
heard that one. Yeah, I had never heard
Yeah.
that one.
But I guess the if looks could kill kind of situation play on that, you know. Sure.
Homework, cheerleading practice, killing vampires. No one said high school would be easy.
I believe I knew that one. And
Yeah, that
that's a
one's
good
pretty
one.
popular. It's a good
I
one.
like it.
Yeah. Okay. Pert, wholesome, way lethal.
Is pert the word you're thinking of? You had to look that
Yes.
up.
Did you know the word pert?
No, what's pert mean?
Pert is specifically used to describe a girl or young woman, and like, so you have to be referring to a girl or a young woman, and it says attractively, lively, or cheeky. I had never heard that word in my life. So pert, wholesome, way lethal. I don't know if I
I
would
think
call
of
her
that.
wholesome.
I think of that shampoo Pert Plus.
Oh shit, yeah. I forgot about Pert Plus. Great hair, no fuss. And then my personal favorite, she knows a sucker when she sees one.
That's pretty good.
That one's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are
Love it.
fun. Yeah. They're fun taglines for a fun movie.
So, who scores? Who wants to go first?
Maybe I should go first since maybe I'm the more obvious one.
Sure.
Okay. Well, I love this movie. I know it's cheesy. I know it's not perfect, but again, nostalgia. And I can't let go of the fact that, like, one of my favorite fictional characters of all time. So I'm going to give it 4 boos. The only reason why I didn't give it 5 boos is because I would not recommend this movie to everyone. I would recommend it to a very select few people. So it loses a whole boo for that because that's big for me. But I'll give it 4 boos. How about you? I'm so curious.
If I should go with my lower score, my higher score.
I think based off of this conversation, you should go for your higher score.
Okay. Yeah. I'm gonna give this 3 boos. It was at
We're going
two
to
and a
be
half.
enemies.
It was at 2.5 going in. It's bumped up to a 3 based on our conversation. Yeah, like I said, the movie is super fun. I would actually recommend this, I think, to a lot of people. I don't know. I am just huge into horror comedies. It's probably my favorite genre. I just love the vibe of, I don't know, just something horrific, but that isn't taken super seriously, you know? Like, I never felt the vampires were of any real menace in this
No,
movie.
no,
There, nobody has any sort of plan. And you
no.
would think too, like,
There's
honestly,
nothing scary about this movie.
the only thing helping Merrick just bumble through all the centuries and lives of fucking this up is like also Lothos just having really no plan ever either. or
Yeah,
any of these
no.
vampires. So, but you know, again, usually like direction does not stick out a whole lot to me, but this one's it's just, again, it feels a little cheap. Yeah, I think just like the movie just feels kind of like choppy. I think even like just it has just weird pacing issues, you know.
Yeah,
And I
I
think,
agree.
but that being said, I mean, I think the entire cast is great. I think everybody, I say, when I say hams it up, like I mean that in an endearing way.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know.
They all seem like they're having a lot of fun and a lot of like really good performances for like very silly lines.
Yeah, just, you know, and then industry legends abound in this movie. So,
and also shout out to Hilary Swank, because I didn't talk about how much I love her in this movie. I think she's so funny, the way that she is just this terrible friend, and the things that she says are so awful, and the faces that she makes, like everything that Hilary Swank does is so good. I love it.
Yeah, she's pretty good. And hey, but hey, a better friend than fucking Jenny.
Yeah, fuck Jenny.
Yeah, 100%. The worst thing she did was buy that coat, but then also like let her borrow it. You know, what can you do? What can you do? So yeah, I give this movie. For that, I give this movie 3 biz. All those things equally factor into my score. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, this movie's great. It's, I don't know, I think it's a classic. Yeah, that's all I got.
I'm so glad you went for 3. Otherwise, that would have been 2 movies that I gave 4 boos to that you gave 2.5 to, because you did that with Piranha.
3 Ds, 2.5 boos. As you do.
You should have said that in the Piranha episode.
Ah, shit. Oh, it's too late to edit that in, but that in. We'll see. Dang, that's all I got. Anything else you want to say about Buffy the Vampire Slayer before we close out?
No, I love it.
Hell yeah. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for sticking around. And yeah, have a good one. 3, 2, 1, ghost.
Thanks for listening to our episode on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. If you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast and leave us a killer review on whichever platform you choose to listen. You can give us a follow on Instagram at 321GhostPod to see what we have coming up in the future, and we'd love to hear from you through DMs or comments. You can also shoot us an email to 321GhostPod@gmail.com to share any questions, comments, or recommend a movie you'd like to hear us chat about. Next week, we're back to chatting about our boy Matthew Lillard in 13 Ghost. Thanks again for listening, and remember, your homework is to go watch all 7 seasons of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the television series. 3, 2, 1, ghost.